I was been thinking about last week's sermon through the week, and thinking about our mind and how we need our minds to be renewed in truth. And as I kind of went through the week, it just got bigger and bigger. And so I'm really praying that God would really guide me and use the time wisely. There's so many things when we think about our minds. You know, I talked last week about the fear of man and how, like in Proverbs, it says the fear of man is a snare, and how when we condition our behavior to please others, we're not walking in the gospel of grace. We're walking in legalism and in fear and in bondage. And so, you know, I've been thinking and praying, God, you know, what's the best way to kind of follow up that sermon? And you know, I talked about looking to God for our security. You know, not trying to validate our lives with other people's approval, but really understanding that when we're accepted by God, we don't need to be accepted by anybody else. We have our acceptance. That's a Bob Sorge quote. I know some of you have read a bit of Bob Sorge, but there's a book he wrote called The Pain, Overcoming the Pain of Rejection. And it's an interesting thing that so much of what we do is conditioned by what people think of us. And so I've been kind of praying and just asking God, you know, I know I need to walk in this. Now I felt the Lord challenge me on kind of a wider scale about my thought life. Now in Proverbs it says that as a man thinks, so he is. And you know, really, the fears and anxieties that we deal with are really symptomatic of a bigger problem, and that is that our thoughts are not centered on Jesus Christ. That we allow a lack of discipline. We allow things like bitterness and unforgiveness and pride to rob us of the life that God wants us to live. You know, we've said this many times, but in 1 Peter it says that everything that we need for life and godliness has been granted to us in Christ Jesus. And what that verse is saying is that God has provided everything that we need. So that when we fail, it's not His fault, right? It's us. You know, when we're not walking in the freedom that God has for us, it's not God's fault. Because He's done everything that He needs to do. He's provided for us in His Son. Not just the forgiveness, but the life that we can live through the Holy Spirit. And so as I kind of thought and prayed about this, it took on kind of a larger format. And I was thinking about, you know, really, the battle is in our minds. You know, we need to have our minds renewed in truth. As it says in John 8:32, it's only the truth that can set us free, isn't it? You know, if we're believing a lie, if we're thinking lies and believing them, we're moving into bondage. And the truth sets us free. And we know these verses are so familiar, aren't they? John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the truth. It's not the truth is a set of things we have to memorize. The truth isn't a creed that we have to follow, but the truth is a person. It's Jesus. And we're to live in Him. We're to live in His power. Now, I talked a little bit, didn't I, last week about walking in the Spirit, in the sphere of the Spirit. Now, when we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now, this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to walk in freedom. He wants us to walk in truth. So that this truth is the guiding principle of our life, not our feelings. You know, we depend so much, don't we, upon our feelings. We, you know, we're having a good day. We feel good. You know, we feel energized. Things are going great. But we have to live beyond our circumstances. We cannot live according to our feelings. Because feelings come and go. They're in our soul. But our spirit is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. If we begin to live out this spirit life, we can overcome these things. We can walk in freedom. Amen? But God has got a plan for us. We don't have to live in bondage anymore. But God has provided what we need through the cross. And so in my daily readings, my usual morning reading through the Bible in a year. And so I got to Isaiah 26, and it said that you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. And then I came to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, which is where I want to turn this morning. And I just wanted to kind of give you some context as what I was thinking through the week as I was reading and praying. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, I came across this verse here. It says, "But I am afraid, lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of Christ." Now, the NASB has "of devotion." It doesn't actually say that, but it implies that. The simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. And that's what I'd like to preach on this morning as my text. This scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I'm asking you this morning to guide my mind. Lord, I confess I'm an earthen vessel. Lord, I pray that you would guide me. Lord, there's so many things that are on my heart this morning. I just pray to help me to use this time wisely. Lord, that you would be glorified. Lord, that you would be lifted high. That your name, the name that is above every other name, the name of which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that you are the Lord. Lord, that name would be lifted high this morning. That we'll be encouraged in our heart. That we'd be strengthened in our spirit by the Holy Spirit. And that you would cause us to walk in more truth than we've walked in before. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing I'd like to say is that we are in a battle. Just as the serpent came to Eve, he came craftily, he came subtly. If we cast our minds back to Genesis chapter 3, we know, don't we, that God said to Adam and Eve, "Go into the garden, eat the fruit freely. I've provided everything you need. All that you have is provided for. Now go and enjoy my creation." Right? And we know they found themselves by that tree, didn't they? The one, there was two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God says, "Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And guess where they found themselves one day? By that very tree that God had said, "Don't go there." And as they were there, we know the serpent came and began to whisper into their ears. Now, this verse implies that the devil spoke to her thoughts because her mind was led astray. So whether it was an audible voice or a voice in her ear, I don't know. But there was a voice that she heard, and he deceived Eve by his craftiness. And we know what he said. He said, didn't he, "Has God really said that? Has God really spoken that?" And he dropped that word freely. So it was kind of true what he said. He quoted a little bit of what God said. But he dropped some of the words and he twisted what God has said. And as she listened to the lie from hell, the next thing the devil said was, "God's not telling the truth. You can eat of the tree. You'll be like God." And so he deceived Eve by his cunning. It's what the devil does. This verse tells us, there's other verses too, it says at the end of John that Satan put it into the heart of Judas to betray him. Satan can put thoughts into your and my mind. And when we listen to those thoughts and begin to believe them and live according to those thoughts, they become strongholds in our life. And we're trapped. We're deceived by Satan. We are in a battle. We're in a battle. I mean, we could look at many, many different scriptures. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul talks about this. He said, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. The word schemes there means thoughts. Okay, so the thought there being that Paul's saying, listen, we're not going to be taken advantage of by Satan. We're not going to let him and his lies infiltrate our mind and our hearts. Let's turn to a lot of these are in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I touched on this a little bit last week, but just the chapter before where we are. It says this in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So we're walking in this earthy body of ours, but our warfare is not of the flesh. And that echoes, doesn't it? Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful or mighty before God for the destruction of fortresses, destroying speculations. Now, how many of us speculate about things, right? We wonder, oh, what's going to happen? We begin to speculate about the future. What's going to happen to me? Is God really faithful? Can he take care of me when I'm old? Can he provide for me financially? Can he take care of my sicknesses and my circumstances? And we begin to speculate. This is what the devil wants us to do. He wants to bring us to a place of doubt in the faithfulness of God. He wants to affect our minds with thoughts that God isn't faithful. That God isn't who he says he is. And what God is telling us here is that we have weapons. And the weapons of our warfare are divinely powerful. The King James has them mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. And the thought there is as we believe these lies, as we allow the enemy to put these thoughts into our mind, that brick by brick a wall of separation is being built. And God says, no. My weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. If you've got fortresses in your mind this morning, God's saying, listen, I can destroy them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. There's no stronghold that is stronger than the grip of grace. Amen. Let's keep going. It says, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And I believe what that means is that Satan is trying to raise up things in our hearts and minds against the knowledge of God. You know, maybe something that somebody's done or a circumstance in our lives that we feel, wow, is God really bigger than this trouble that I'm in? Is this obstacle too big for God? And we begin to doubt God. And doubt is the worst thing we can do, isn't it? It's a terrible sin, a vile sin against the faithfulness of God. We begin to be unbelieving. We know we could read through Hebrews what God did to the children of Israel as they refused to believe him over and over again as God provided for them in the desert, as God provided for them protection from their enemies. And yet over and over again they complained and they doubted. They became discouraged and disobedient. And it kind of culminates. Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so, of course, Satan is attacking our faith, our trust in a loving Savior who's able to do more than we can ask or think. Last week I talked about that verse in Psalm 56. God is for us, echoed in Romans 8. You know, do we live like that? Wow, God is for me today. Or do we allow our circumstances to overwhelm us? And we begin to be like Peter, who was walking on the water. It speaks, doesn't it, of when our eyes are on Jesus, we can walk on difficulty. We can overcome our circumstances. But as we look around at the wind and the waves, we begin to sink and become discouraged and overwhelmed by things. And Peter cried out, didn't he? Jesus! Jesus! That's going to be one of the things this week I'm going to encourage you again to do, like I did last week. We've got to be a people of prayer. Now, I don't want to get onto application just yet. But let's finish out this section in 2 Corinthians 10. It says, we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. What would our lives be like if we learned to do this? If we learn to take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. It says in the beginning of James, doesn't it? In chapter 1, it says that when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin given into brings forth death. And I believe that every sin we commit begins in the mind. It's where temptation is. It's where our desires are. Lust just means desire. It's where our desires begin. Now, if this is true, and I believe it is, that we can take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. If we could maybe reword it a bit, what it means is a mind that is captivated by Jesus Christ. A heart that is focused and centered upon Jesus. A heart that looks beyond its circumstances. A heart that sees that, you know, God is working this for good in my life. That even in this trial that I'm going through, that God is faithful. I might not know the reason why this is happening, but I know that God is good. And He's promised to not withhold any good thing from me. He's promised to work all things together for good in my life. That God is faithful in all of life's ups and downs. Amen. This is the heart that's captivated by Jesus Christ. I know I want my heart to be more and more captivated by Jesus. So that when things do happen, our first thought is Jesus. 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 That our first thought is to say, God, what is it that I can learn from this? Instead of shunning circumstances and shunning people, but letting the Lord teach us to trust Him so that our circumstances are blessing us, even in difficulties and trials. That's what I want. That's what I need. So this is the battle we're in. Let's go back to, just turn the page back to chapter 11. Just a few other things I'd like to pull out of this verse 3. It says, doesn't it? It talks about craftiness, that Satan is cunning. That he says, but I'm afraid lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your mind should be led astray. So Paul's saying, listen, I'm afraid of the same thing happening to you. That Satan would seek to deceive you and lead you astray. And deception is the opposite of truth, isn't it? When we're led astray, the thought there is seduced or somehow deceived or tricked. It's the opposite of purity. And Paul says that your mind should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of Christ. Now that word simplicity is an interesting word. What it means is that the word is like an unfolded garment. It doesn't mean like stupid. You know, we think of a simpleton, somebody who's dumb or stupid or foolish. It doesn't mean that. What it means is that we're to have a simple, uncomplicated devotion to Christ. No hypocrisy. That we're just like an open garment unveiled before Him. And of course, the devil wants the exact opposite. That we would be folded and hidden and complicated, that things wouldn't run. The other thought is like a thread, all the threads running in the same direction, that we'd be separated and split and hidden. And this is what the enemy wants. He wants us to be like a folded up garment, so that we're not open. We're not open to God. We're not open to each other. We have things hidden, maybe bitternesses or unforgiveness. And so we become like a folded garment. And what the Lord's saying, I just want you to be simple in your trust, simple in your devotion to Christ. Uncomplicated, unmixed. That's the idea of purity. It means free from pretense, unmixed, nothing hidden. And we could think of scriptures in Revelation 12. I'm not going to go there. But we could think of how the Lord reveals to John the same idea that the devil is like a serpent. And it says, doesn't it, at the very end of that chapter in verse 17, it says the dragon was enraged with a woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children. Right? So this idea that we're at war and we need to be on the alert, as it says at the end of Ephesians 6, that this is a battle and there are eternal consequences. I'd like to talk a little bit about keys to victory in the last 15 minutes or so, because it's okay knowing that we're in a war, but it's really helpful if we can have some keys to victory, isn't it? It's really helpful to get the good news as well as the bad news. There's also some other things I was going to talk about. The battle we're in, of course, the world and our flesh. You know, Peter in 1 Peter 2:11 says, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. You know, so we're in this battle, the world, the flesh, and the devil. But I want to go through a few keys to victory that I believe the Lord wants to show us. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. It says this, prepare your minds for action, right? So prepare your minds for action. In other words, get ready. Be prepared. Another version has, gird your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Which means it's to do with the mind. Keep sober in spirit's been added. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to dissect the verse too much, but this is a great verse, isn't it? It's telling us, get ready. Gird your minds for action. Fix your hope completely on the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So abandon all other helps, all other things, and fix your hope. Fix it. Settle it. Nail it today. This is my hope. My hope is in Jesus. My hope is not to try and outwit the devil. Jesus has already done that. He's destroyed him at the cross. My hope is completely fixed on Jesus Christ. And I think the picture there in my heart is it's like a boat, you know, where we're cutting all the ties. We're cutting all the chains to the shore. And we're just saying, Jesus, my hope is in you and in you alone. There's no way I can overcome this enemy on my own. There's no way that I can somehow, with my own cunning and skill, defeat and win this battle. But God, my hope is fixed on you, Lord. I'm going to trust in you, God. I know you can bring me through. The second thing is the word set. Let's go to Colossians 3, verse 2. And these are just little snippets. There's loads of stuff in here. Like I said, I had to radically trim back what I wanted to share. But if you get a chance to go through some of these verses, they're just powerful, powerful verses. Colossians 3, verse 2. It says this. So let's do verse 1 as well. If you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. Keep seeking the things above. You know, we get so caught up, don't we, in the things of this earth. Keep seeking the things above. where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And Ephesians chapter 1 tells us, doesn't it? We've been seated with Him in heavenly places. Verse 2, set. And the word there means fix. Be intent. Be purposeful. Be determined. Set your minds. And it's a continuous thing. Present continuous. Set your mind constantly on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. And this is our great temptation, isn't it? That the things on the earth, that they're so pressing. They're so in front of us. And I quoted last week F.B. Mayer. He said we should almost live. What did he say? We should almost live as if our circumstances were irrelevant. That's incredible, isn't it? That our circumstances are irrelevant. That we can look through our circumstances and know that God, in His sovereignty, in His goodness and grace, has ordered our lives, that we're secure in His grip, that His grip on us is a sure grip, that He's immutable, He's unchangeable, that He's promised that He'll never let go of our lives. Amen. Set your minds on the things above. Maybe that's why you're struggling so much. Your mind is set on earthly things, on your own pleasures. James talks about that, doesn't he? He said, God isn't going to answer your prayers because you're just praying to get your own desires answered. To spend it on your own lusts and desires. But I believe a great key to victory is setting our minds on the things above. Living in our identity as God's people. Right? We've been raised up with Christ. We're seated with Him in heavenly places. We have to live that way. And even if we don't feel like it, you know, we live, don't we, so wrapped up a lot of times in our feelings. Oh, I don't feel like it. So what? Are we willing to doubt our doubts and believe God? I don't know if you've heard of Reinhard Bonnke, but I was 17 years old. I was in a massive rally in Birmingham. And I'd have no idea what he said that day, but I remember that one thing. He said this, why don't you doubt your doubts and believe in God? Why don't we doubt our doubts? You know, these things are not from you, Lord. Right? When the devil comes and says, has God really said, this is not your voice, Lord. We can use our discernment and recognize that this is not the voice of God. And we have to judge our thoughts. Right? In Psalm 42 and 44, Paul says, why so downcast, O my soul? He spoke to himself. He said, put your trust in God. We're so prone to live by our feelings. Sometimes maybe we have to speak to ourselves and say, you know what? You're wrong. I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to doubt my doubts. I'm going to believe that God's bigger than this circumstance I'm in. Amen. So a key to victory, setting your mind on the things above. The next key is staying our souls on God. Let's turn to Isaiah 26. I'm really sorry. It's just so brief. And I know I'm not doing these verses justice. But I'm just doing my best. In the time that I have, I just wish we had more time to dig into the. If you get a chance to read these verses, please read them. This verse just laid a hold of me this week. So I was reading through Isaiah. And just the assurance of this verse. It says this in verse 3 of chapter 26. We'll just jump in. It says the steadfast mind. The steadfast of mind. In ESV, it's a little bit different. King James has it that, I'm going to quote King James. That's where I grew up reading. It says, thou, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. That's a beautiful promise, isn't it? You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. The devil wants to take our minds away from this place of rest that God has for us. God's saying, I will keep you in perfect peace. And that word perfect, it's like a double emphasis. It's shalom is the word. I will keep you. I will keep you whole. I will keep you in my shalom peace when your mind is stayed on me. It's what we need for anxious thoughts. Right? We're not alone in this. David, the psalmist in Psalm 94, he says, when my anxious thoughts overwhelm me, your consolations delight my soul. Right? In 1 Peter 5:8, it says we're to be sober-minded. We know the devil, our adversary, is like a lion roaring, devouring, hungry lion seeking whom he may devour. But oh, that our minds will be stayed upon God, rested and trusting on the Almighty. It's beautiful, isn't it? Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. How do we do that? How do we stay our minds on Jesus Christ? Well, in Philippians chapter 4, it says this very, very well-known verse, doesn't it? Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, right? In everything. That means anything that might make us anxious, in everything. Whether it's our finances or our circumstances, our health, our discouragement of the people, in everything, let your requests be made known to God. With all supplication, there's a little with, isn't there? With thanksgiving. And what will happen? The peace of God, which passes understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. This is a key to victory. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. I want to be very blunt, please, if you may excuse me. Are you praying? Are you anxious? If you're anxious, you should be praying. Right, that's what this verse is telling us. You know, we sometimes want to get zapped, don't we, by God. We want God just to kind of, boom, Lord, I'm a bit anxious right now. Can you just, boom, take it away and give me peace? Right? And sometimes God does that. But maybe you're struggling with anxious thoughts because you're not praying. Maybe God's disciplining you. Maybe you're not at peace because there's sin in your life. God's disciplining you. Maybe there's unbelief that he's trying to get at. Maybe there's pride. You think, I could do this. I can handle this on my own. God says, come on. I want you to pray. I want you to seek my face. I want you to know that you can't get through this on your own. You've tried for so many years to do this on your own. But you can't do it on your own. It's bigger than you. God says, seek my face. Pray. You know, we love that verse in Isaiah. You'll keep me in perfect peace. Lord, how are you going to do it? Well, Ephesians 4 tells us how God's going to do it. And the peace of God, which passes our understanding is so limited. We see things from such a temporary perspective. Right? We sometimes have to let God bypass our busy, busy brains. Settle in our heart, God, you've got this. God, you understand me. Nobody else might understand me. But God, you understand me. And you're my great counselor. And God, your perfect peace can keep me in this storm. Amen. You can keep me, Lord. And let's just turn to Psalm 94. There's something really interesting as I was just kind of digging in, and the verses were just, there's just so much in here. But let's just turn to this. In Psalm 94, verse 19. And it says this. Let's start in 17. If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would have dwelt in silence. If I should say, my foot has slipped, thy loving kindness, O Lord, will hold me up. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me. Ever had that happen to you? They kind of exponentially multiply. Maybe that's just me, but you know, you get anxious about something, then whew, you're really anxious about it, right? Right? When, I'm glad I'm not the only one, right? When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, and this thought, this word anxious, I was looking it up thinking, what does that really mean? And it's talking about being busy. The thought is perplexing. Busy, perplexing, anxious, fearful. And the word picture in the Hebrew is like a tree that's all kind of branching off. You ever found that? You know, you think about something and suddenly you're a million miles away thinking it, and they've all kind of branched off together, right? Sometimes my wife's like, she'll talk about something and suddenly she'll talk about something else. I'm like, well, how did you get there? And she's like, well, I did, and then everything kind of branches off and it all links in together. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I'm kind of slow like that. But I thought that was really good that it's like a tree. The anxious thoughts are like a tree that branch off in lots of directions. And it says this, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, or there are many within me, your consolations delight my soul. And so I believe that the other key to victory is not just prayer, but really just enjoying God. Just enjoying who He is. Reading God's Word, meditating on the Word of God, praying, seeking His face. You know, one of the dangers is we always want to tell somebody, don't we? When we're in a fix, we always want to call somebody, or we've got to have somebody listen to us. Well, what would it be like if our first recourse was to go to the Lord, to seek His face, to spend time in His presence, seeking Him, asking Him, loving Him? It says, doesn't it, in that verse, your consolations delight my soul. It says in Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord. Verse 4, He will give you the desires of your heart. You know, if your desire is for peace, delight yourself in God. Don't delight yourself in the things of this earth, but delight yourself in God. Amen. The very last thing I want to say is in Ephesians chapter 4, the last key to victory, and this is maybe the main one, but I'm definitely running out of time here. But in Ephesians chapter 4, there's a really powerful section. And I don't have time to go into it, but in verse 17, it talks about the futility of the Gentiles. The futility of their minds. They were self-centered. In verse 18, they were darkened in their understanding. He's talking again about the mind that's excluded from the life of God. They're ignorant because of the hardness of their heart. They become callous in verse 19. This is what the devil wants to do with your heart. They've given themselves over to sensuality. I mean, think about the country that we live in, the society we live in. Is it not given over to sensuality? Pretty much everything we can watch or listen to, there's an element of sensuality, sexual uncleanness, for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. There's greed. I mean, this is exactly the society we're living in today. Verse 20, but you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, just as the truth is in Jesus. Now, the verse 22, that in reference to your old manner of life, that fearing, anxious manner of life, you lay aside, put off once and for all, the old man which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, verse 23, and that you being renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, which is in the likeness of God, is being created in righteousness and holiness of truth. And this is the biggest key that I felt the Lord was wanting to speak to us, that we need our minds to be renewed. You know, we've had different teaching on putting off and putting on. You know, when we become a Christian, the old man is put off. It's once and for all. And the new man is put on. right? My Adamic nature is dead. It's crucified with Christ. It's not like I've got to come in and out of it anymore. It's done. God has won the victory. It's nailed to the cross. And I'm a new person in Christ once and for all. The tense there is aorist. We're once and for all new creatures in Christ. Now what we have to do is live in it. God has to renew our minds. Amen. That we have to live in the good of what God has done for us. And it's exciting because this means that we don't have to be the same way that we used to be. Amen. That God wants to transform us by the renewing of our minds. This is the process that we're engaged in. Once we're born again and filled with the Spirit, that our old man is gone, the new things have come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And now we need to have our minds renewed by the Spirit. This is what God wants to do in our lives. And I think it's incredibly exciting that God wants to so pour out His Spirit in our lives that we can live in this new way. Amen? It's what God wants for us. And all we have to do is agree with it. We have to be obedient. We have to submit and surrender. But this is our heritage as God's people. Right? That we can be renewed in the spirit of our mind. That there's so much in here. It's present, continuous. It's an ongoing thing. But as we walk in obedience, as we walk in truth, as we walk in the Spirit, that this is what God's going to do. He's going to bring us into more and more freedom. Amen. We're immature at the moment, right? But we're growing in grace. We're growing in the knowledge of Christ. And as we obey and live out the calling that God has for us, He's going to renew our minds. Amen. So we don't have to be anxious about the future. We don't have to be anxious about the past. We don't have to be fearful about what will they think of me? What will they do to me? That God is absolutely, utterly faithful. Amen. It's what God wants to do for us. These are the keys to victory. Prayer, reading God's word, meditation, but allowing God to renew us in our minds. Oh, there's so much more. I'm going to wrap up there. But I just want to encourage you, you know, to seek God's face. Seek His face and see what He'll do. Seek Him. He can break the bondage of sin. He can help us to forgive people that have hurt us. He can help us not to be bitter about life. You know, bitterness is an awful thing, isn't it? It says like a root that springs up and defiles many. I mean, these are the things God can do in us as we let Him renew our mind. It's incredible what God can do. I'm just wondering if we're willing to allow God to do it. Are we willing to allow God to cause us to live the way that He wants us to live? I need this. I'm not trying to claim some great, amazing experience. I mean, I need God. I need God to do it in my heart, to renew me. It's a wonderful thing, the idea of renewing. I know I spoke a little bit about it last week, but it's this idea that of a spring of water, that always is fresh water. There's a source. And it links in with John 7:37, right? Jesus was speaking about the Holy Spirit. It'd be like rivers of living water springing up in our heart as we trust Him, as we seek Him, as we love Him, as we obey Him. So the practical application is pray. Let's be people of prayer. Seek God's face. You know, if you're not seeking God every day, you need to be in the Word. You need to be just alone, seeking Him, loving Him, praying to Him, sharing your heart with Him. You know, there's another psalm where I think it's one of David's, but he says, "When my heart is overwhelmed, I pour out my heart to You." You know, are we people who pour out our hearts to God, or do we just hold it all in, or we have to call a friend and share how bad things are? You know, I love a Christian fellowship. I'm not saying we shouldn't share our needs, but our first call should be, God, it's You I need. And if we share with our friends, we should pray for one another. We should lift up one another before the Lord. Amen? Amen. This is our heritage. It's our legacy in Christ. It's our destiny. We need it, don't we? We need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. I was going to go to Song of Songs chapter 2. And it's this idea that the Beloved's calling us to come in intimacy. He's leaping on our mountains. He's saying, come on, come close to me. Seek my face. I'm here. I'm with you. Seek my face. So I just want to challenge you. Why don't you take some time this week? I mean, every day if you can. And seek God's face. Maybe you won't have so many anxious thoughts. I know you won't. Maybe things are being to clarify as far as your future and your life. But let's be a people who seek God. Amen. All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that transforms us by the renewing of our minds. Lord, that we are new creatures in Christ. Lord, I just confess, Lord, we confess together, Lord, we need this to happen in our lives. Lord, we ask you to renew our minds. We pray, Lord, that you would tear down any kind of lies from the enemy that we've believed, Lord. Any strongholds, Lord, that have been built up, Lord, just like the serpent deceived Eve, Lord, he's trying to deceive us. We pray, we want to walk in truth, Lord. We want to walk in freedom. Lord, we want to walk empowered and filled and flooded by your Spirit, Lord. Oh, God, I pray, Lord, bring us into more and more of your freedom. Oh, God, I pray, renew us, Lord. Renew our thoughts, Lord. So many men are saying, I've got unclean thoughts. We pray, Lord, purify thoughts, Lord. Lord, bitter thoughts, angry thoughts. Lord, we pray that you would cut them off in the name of Jesus. Doubting thoughts, Lord. Lord, thoughts that refuse to believe God. Lord, we stand against them today in Jesus' name. Amen, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would cut us off from doubting thoughts. Lord, give us faith, Lord, to believe the promises of God. Lord, that you are for us. Lord, that you finished the work that you began. Lord, that you're faithful. You never leave us or forsake us. Oh, Lord Jesus, yes, Lord, that you say, Lord, that you will withhold no good thing from him who walks uprightly. Amen, Lord. This is our heritage as your people. We pray, Lord God, cause us to walk in more freedom than we've ever experienced before. Oh, amen, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.